Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Let the church say amen again.
Amen.
Truly, we can thank God for being able to be here on this morning. And with all that God has afforded us and blessed us through, we can certainly give him thanks and we can give him praise.
Yeah.
At this time, I always believe in going before the throne of God. I believe that this is a church of prayer. Amen. That you like to pray, and we're going to certainly pray as we go before the throne of God, just thanking him for this day and this time that he has granted to each and every one of us as we bow our head in prayer. Father God, we are grateful, thankful, and humble to come before thy throne of grace and goodness. Father, we thank you for your holiness. We thank you for your majesty. We thank you, Father, for being our provider and our creator. Father, we thank you for watching out over us on last night as we slept in slumber, that you allow us to arise to see this day with the many blessings that you have afforded for each and every one of us. Father, we thank you for this great assembly. We thank you, Father, for being able to gather together, Father, and to worship you and to magnify your holy and divine name. Father, we are praying for this moment that we are given in time to be encouraged through this service. We are thanking you, Father, for all that have gathered with you in mind. We are praying, Father, that you use me, thy servant, that the things that we say and the things that we proclaim from your word this day, that your name, Father, may be glorified and edified through our adherence to your word. Father, we are praying for any heart in this house that is heavy this morning. Father, any heart that is burdened, we ask as always that you would comfort their heart, that you would strengthen them. That, Father, as we receive your word, we are able to leave this place better than that which we have come. Be with us this day. It is in the mighty name of Jesus that we do pray. Let the whole house say amen.
Amen.
The Bible divinely declares in the first division of the book of Psalms, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth at the seat of the scornful. But the Bible says his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law that he meditate day and night. And the Bible says, and he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Prayerfully as always, we have come amongst the people of God that are excited about God's prosperous blessings upon their lives. For we serve a God who knows how to bless us over and over and over and over and over. Some of y'all gonna wake up this morning and over. Y'all know we sing the song. Hey, amen, somebody. We serve a God. Let me try it one more time, Brother Straw. We serve a God who knows how to bless us over and over and over again. Amen. See, back home, when I say that, they all start shouting over in recognition to what God does for us each and every day. I thank God that he is a good God. Amen, somebody. I thank God when God blesses me one time, he does not run out of blessings. I serve a God that he knows how to bless me once and he can do it again. I serve a God that when he heals me, he doesn't just heal me one time. Amen, somebody. He is able to heal me again. I serve a God when he forgives me, he doesn't just forgive me one time, but he forgives me over and over. There we go. Amen, somebody. And over again. We are thankful unto God for his many, many blessings upon our life, for sustaining our life, allowing us to arise this morning and just being good to us. I don't know if you know it or not, but we serve a good God. And that's when the whole house should have said amen.
Amen.
Let me try it again. I say we serve a good God.
Amen.
He is wonderful. As a matter of fact, he's so good. On one occasion in Luke chapter 19, when the Pharisees wanted to silence the disciples, Jesus says, if I make them be quiet, the rock's going to cry out. Preacher, what are you saying? Jesus is letting us know God is good. And we have not arrived at this moment in time, this space within these sacred walls, because God is not good. We are here this morning is because he is good. good. And we are thankful unto him for every and any occasion that we are given to be able to proclaim his word. For we know that we are but filthy rags. We know that we are not worthy, but we thank God for his grace counting us worthy and allowing us to be here this morning. I want to thank Brother Strauss and the elders in this great congregation for receiving us this morning. We were given an invitation, Brother Strauss, and we want you to know that we truly appreciate it to be able to come and to be able to share with Holland Heights, the Church of Christ at Holland Heights, from the Word of God. And we want you to know that we are just very thankful for you receiving us. I know you don't know me and I don't know you. You trying to size me up, I'm trying to size y'all up. You trying to figure out if you can preach, I'm trying to figure out if y'all know how to say amen.
Amen.
And how about this morning we enjoy ourselves? I'm going to act like I've been here before. Hey, amen, somebody. I ain't never been here before. I'm thankful to be at the great Holland Heights. But we are thankful this morning. We come by way of the Church of Christ at Northside in Opelousas, Louisiana, where, as Brother Strauss said, we've been laboring there for some 10 years. We come under the ministry of Brother Otha L. Smith from Lafayette, Louisiana. Y'all know him from Houston, but we claim him in Lafayette. Amen. But we've been under him for some 10 years, and then we were given the opportunity to be able to work with the congregation in Opelousas, Louisiana, and we are certainly thankful to God for moving us in such a capacity to encourage the people of God there. So if y'all don't mind, I'm going to act like I'm at home. Meaning that when I look at y'all faces, I ain't going to see y'all. I'm going to see people at home. Amen. So brother, if I keep looking at you, amen. That's the brother. I got a brother at home that sit right there too as well. And that's my amen, brother. So when everybody else won't say it, he'll say it. But we are thankful this morning to be able to be here. Have my wife who is here as well. I'm looking to see where they at. I know they made it in yet. But there we go. There we go. She's here. We've been married, Brother Strauss, for some in October. It's going to be 9 years. Somebody asked me the other day. I told them 7. They said, well, you got married in 15. That can't be 7 years. I say we've been married for some 9 years, and it's been wonderful, wonderful. I'm thankful to us. Normally, Brother Strauss, at the time where brothers would try to get some brownie points, bragging on their wife.
Amen.
And then they'd say, she's the apple of my eye. You know, I'm going to just tell her, you know, she's the ice cream in my cookies. Amen. But we are thankful to her and my two sons, Lennox and Colin, who is with us this morning. We are thankful unto them for being with us. So I know if y'all don't act right, I know they better act right.
Amen.
And we're going to smile and have a good time in the Lord this morning. If you have your copy of the Word of God, declare amen.
Amen.
We invite your intellect and some of your senses to Matthew, the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. And if you're visiting us this morning, we want you to know that you are our honored guests. If you received the invitation, I'm going to let you know that was a powerful invitation that you were given. And prayerfully, we'll say something that will convict your heart, that you understand how powerful that invitation is that you will receive and the opportunity you have to evaluate your soul's salvation before it's eternally too late. We don't want you to leave not being right with God, not being right with the blessings that God has given you through that powerful invitation that you have received. So prayerfully throughout our discourse, we may say something. If we say something that convicts your heart and you stand up and you ready, we going to be ready. Amen. But we are thankful unto God for your presence here. Matthew, the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. Notice with me, and we certainly thank our brother for the reading of scripture and prayer. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 24 and verse number 25. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And the Bible reads, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my name's sake shall find it. At verse 24, the Bible says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. me. We use for the sermonic subject briefly this morning, the foundation of following. The foundation of following. Might I submit this morning that if you've ever found yourself on one of these social media platforms on your phone, iPad, or mobile device, if you've ever found yourself on a platform such as Facebook, a platform such as Instagram, a platform such as TikTok or Twitter, if you've ever been on any one of those platforms before, strolling through the creative content of individuals, at some point you arrived at a moment where something caught your attention. Something caught your eye. And before you know it or not, you were engaging in the creative content of that individual, and somehow it caught your attention so much that you decided to click the follow button. Some of y'all looking at me this morning like you don't know what Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, or Twitter is. Y'all, do me a favor. Let's not act that holy this morning. Amen, somebody. Amen. Even if you're not on it, you watch your grandchildren on it, and you watch your coworkers on it. So y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Amen, somebody. We've all been on it, and at some point, you've clicked the follow button. And I want you to know this morning that when you click that button, several things happen in order for you to click that follow button. In the first case, you need to know, in order for you to click that follow button, that means that you engage and you were in agreement with the content that you were viewing. Some of us, there's some people on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter that's good at baking stuff, good at cooking stuff, and you were scrolling through and you seen a recipe you like. And before you know it, you went on their page and you saw there were other recipes, so you decided, because I like what I'm seeing, I'm going to go ahead and follow that individual. In the second case, what happened, you were in agreement with the content that was being shared, and you were susceptible to further content that they will begin to share. See, when you follow them, you not only agree with the content they posted already, but you are in agreement that you will also receive further content, that when they post something else, you'll get it immediately because you are now following that individual. And some of us have a lot of people we follow. But can I tell you this morning that for those of us that would follow any content creator on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and would be in agreement with them, because these content creators, they're looking for your following. And watch this, can I tell you, they don't even care if you agree with everything they post. Amen. They just want to be able to say, I have 1 million followers. I have 1,000 followers. And some of us get excited when we get one. Y'all gonna act like that. Amen, somebody. I got content on Instagram, and I got content on Facebook, Brother Straw, and I don't mind when I get followers. As a matter of fact, I told my wife the other day, I got 1,000 followers. Some of y'all gonna act like, I know you got more than me. That's all right now. But I was excited because I had people that were following me. And watch this. I know that some of them, when they look at my content, they might agree with one post. They might not agree with all posts. But they decided to follow me anyway. Can I tell you this morning from our scripture, can I tell you that Jesus, he says, before you click that follow button, there's some things I need you to know about me. Jesus said, before you decide to follow me, there's some stuff I need you to know about me. Because Jesus says, I'm not in the business of getting everybody to follow me. Because you have to understand, not everybody going to be willing to follow Jesus. Not everybody agrees with Jesus' content. Amen, somebody. Not everybody agrees with how Jesus carried himself out here on earth. Not everybody agrees with the word of God. And Jesus says, before you decide to follow me, these are some things you need to know about me. Watch the text this morning. Because in the 16th chapter
of the book of Matthew. I need you to know this morning, if y'all don't mind at home, I do what is called a little bit of homiletical homework. That is, I try to break down that before we get to verse number 25, there's a lot of substance, there's a lot of root in the entire chapter of the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter, that by the time we get to verse number 24, in order to really appreciate what Jesus is saying, Jesus, watch this, he wants you to follow him, but he doesn't want you to just be a follower clicking the button and then not keeping up with the content that he has created. He's basically letting you know that I've created this content for you to follow, but you need to know it's not going to be easy. In the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, he begins at verse number 1. Matthew, notice now, has a interesting role that is different from Mark, different from Luke, different from John. Now, I know most theologians would try to separate John's gospel, the Johannine gospel, from all other gospels, but it is agreed now in concert by most theologians that they agree what is called the euangelion. That just simply means that all four gospels speak of the same story. All four gospels give you the full story of who Jesus is. That when you read Matthew, Matthew shines a light on Jesus. When you read Mark, Mark shines a certain light on Jesus. When you read John, he shines a certain light on Jesus. So watch this. Matthew shines the light on Jesus because Matthew wants the Jews to know Jesus is not just for you. I know because of your Jewish descent that you are descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But can I tell you, Jesus is not for you. Jesus, his kingdom is not just for the Jews. But watch this now. His kingdoms would be available to the Gentiles as well. He's not just your Jesus. He's a Jesus for all. And I like that because, you know, oftentimes we know how to claim stuff. Y'all gonna act like that this morning. I say we know how to claim stuff. Amen. And you know, it's interesting, Brother Strive, you ever found a good restaurant? I'm talking about really good. I mean, they cook good, they clean good, you just eat good. And before you know it, you don't really want to tell everybody about it because that's your restaurant. That's your spot, right? Amen. And you know, if I tell too many people, when I go to show up at my spot, they're gonna show up. And they might get preferential treatment that I'm getting right now. So oftentimes we know how to claim stuff as ours. Watch this now. The Jews tried to claim Jesus. Matthew, through his gospel, he's constantly shedding the light that the kingdom of God would be available for all. But one of the things that Jesus does in this particular chapter is that he begins teaching his disciples, and it becomes a turning point in his ministry because now he's going to talk about his debt. Now he's going to talk about this thing called the church, the ecclesia. Now he's going to let his disciples know that you can't just follow me half-heartedly. It's going to cost you something. He's going to talk about the crucifixion was not a popular way of dying. And I like that because really when you look at this particular chapter, the theme of faith runs through the veins of this chapter. Because he opens up at verse number 1, and he wants us to know that you have to examine the Pharisees and the Sadducees because they didn't have no faith. They didn't have any faith, and when you don't have no faith, you'll find yourself tempting Christ. I say when you don't have no faith, you find yourself tempting Christ. Watch the Bible. The Bible says in verse number 1 of Matthew chapter 16, the Bible says the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, watch this now, and tempting, desiring him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, if it be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering, O ye hypocrites, how can you discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time? Watch this now. It's interesting because when you look at that, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they actually didn't even believe the same thing. They were actually on two different ends of the religious spectrum, but they both come together to tempt Jesus. They both don't have faith in Jesus, so they decide that since we don't have faith in Jesus, let's go ahead and tempt him. Let's go ahead and try him. Let's go ahead and see if we can find some fault in his teaching. And they tell Jesus, now Jesus, we need a sign. We need a sign. I like that word because that word in original Greek, it has more to do with a miracle. They was not telling Jesus, "We want you to see. We want to see a miracle," because Jesus, at that point, Jesus had already performed miracles, right? Y'all know about Jesus' miracles, right? Y'all know the Bible says one of the first miracles he did at Canaan, at the wedding at Canaan, was turning water into wine, right? Man. As a matter of fact, that's awesome miracle. Some people know is that he turned water into wine. There were other miracles Jesus did after he turned water into wine. Amen, somebody. But he performed many miracles at that point. And now these Pharisees and now these Sadducees are not telling him, "We want a miracle." They say, "We want a sign." A sign is something that's so far beyond a miracle that it's almost as if Jesus, "We want you to now prove that you are God the Son. We want you to prove that you are somehow God manifested in human flesh." Say, "Jesus, we're tired of seeing miracles. Anybody can do a miracle. We need a sign. We need you to do something powerful so we'll believe that you are the Son of God." I like Jesus' response. Jesus tell him, now, some of you are good at predicting the weather. As a matter of fact, I would tell y'all, I think my mama is the best meteorologist there is. Oh, y'all can say what y'all want to say. My mama the best meteorologist there is. I ain't even got to turn on Channel 4 and Channel 7 News. I just call my mama. I said, "Ma, I got something going on tomorrow." I said, "How you feeling?" She said, "Well, my bone's not aching." Some of y'all not with me. She said, "My arthritis not acting up, so you're going to be all right." I called her one time. I said, "Ma, I got some things going on tomorrow." She said, "You might want to cancel that." She said, "My bone's hurting." Jesus said, "You can discern when it's red in the evening time. It's mean it's going red tomorrow. When it's red in the morning, it means that it'll be clear skies all day." He said, "How can you discern the weather, but you can't discern the times?" And he said, "You want a sign from me? You want me to prove who I am?" And watch what's interesting. Faith doesn't have to prove anything. Amen. Oh, Lord have mercy. I said something powerful. Amen. I said, faith does not have to prove anything. As a matter of fact, none of us in here have ever seen God. Amen. There isn't anybody in here that's ever seen Jesus. As a matter of fact, how do we even know that these words are true? We believe them by faith. God doesn't have to prove anything to us. And I want you to know, if you're visiting with us, you know, sometimes we get to God, we want God to prove who he is. "God, if you do this, then I'll believe." And we try to bargain with God as if somehow God can be bargained with. And now we want God to prove who he is. And I like this, because one theologian said this way. He said, if they didn't believe before the sign, they wasn't going to believe after the sign. Oh, Lord have mercy. I said something. If you don't believe before God is able to bless you, you won't believe after he's blessed you. Stop asking God for a miracle and a sign, because if you don't believe before, you won't believe after. The Bible says you have to come to God by faith. And by faith, you believe that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. See, as people of faith, as people of God, we don't have to wait for God to move. As a matter of fact, the greatest faith is allowing God to move in his own time and believing that God will move in his time. Amen. So they didn't have any faith because they tempted Jesus. But watch this. In the second case, can I tell you, when you have a little faith, I like this, because all the book of Matthew in the 16th chapter does, it deals with the levels of our faith. It deals with the level of us building our faith till we can get to a point where Jesus could tell us to follow him. And watch this, because we have so much faith, we don't have no faith, we don't have little faith, we arrive at a moment because we have so much trust and faith in God that we are willing to follow him no matter what. So watch this. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they didn't have no faith. But watch the disciples, because the disciples had little faith. That little faith didn't cause them to tempt Jesus, but that little faith caused them to misunderstand Jesus. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 5, as I hasten, now I want y'all to know, Brother Stroud told me he didn't put me on a time limit. No. Oh, Lord have mercy. That's when y'all were supposed to say amen, preacher. Amen. I ain't going to be all day now, but amen, amen, somebody. Watch this. Verse number 5, the Bible says, and when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto him, take heed and be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? Which when Jesus perceived and said unto them, O ye, watch this now, of little faith. Why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? It's interesting because Jesus, especially in his time right before his crucifixion, he really gets intentional with the time that he has with his disciples because he knows that his time is short. So he gets intentional in his teaching and the time that he spends with them because he wants them to know that I need your priorities to shift. Your priorities can't be so fixated that I spend time. I'm dealing with these Pharisees and these Sadducees, and I'm dealing with all of these doubts, all of these individuals that don't have faith and trust in who I am. And now we get to the other side, and after I dealt with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the only thing you can think about is bread. Amen. I just dealt with a spiritual matter that I allowed the Pharisees and the Sadducees to know that they are a wicked generation that's looking for a sign, but the only sign that they'll get is the sign of Jonah. That is the dead, burial, and resurrection. I gave them something spiritual to eat, but you're still looking for something physical. Jesus says, you literally have manna with you, but you're still looking for something else. Amen. Let me try it again. In the word of God, Jesus is known as the bread of life. Jesus says, watch this. You literally have the bread of life with you, but you're still worrying about bread. Amen. Oh, some of y'all still not shouting. Let me try it like this. One of the things that Jesus, he does in one of the miracles, y'all know this, he feeds the 4,000. Y'all remember when he feeds the 4,000, right? And y'all, some of y'all only remember the 5,000, but he fed 5,000 and 4,000. But watch this. When they took those loaves and those fish, they took that little bit of scraps and they had more left over than they started with. Y'all know that story, right? So watch this. They had leftovers in so much that they had baskets and barrel. Watch, the disciples were there. They were present. They witnessed Jesus take these little bitty fish and take this little bit of bread and feed over 5,000 men, not even counting the women and children, and then have over 12 baskets left over. Jesus was showing them, as long as I'm with you, you always have everything you need. And now we get to the other side. I just dealt with these Pharisees and Sadducees, and now the only thing you can think about is that we don't have no bread. So Jesus says, O ye of little faith. Now I like that because watch this. He didn't say they didn't have no faith. That was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They didn't have any faith. So he said they didn't have no faith. But watch the disciples. The disciples had little faith. I always look at that because I always consider that interesting. Because when we're going to get to the close, and I won't be long, but when Jesus says, follow me, that word follow me has the intentionality of three things. It literally has the intentionality. When he says, follow me, it literally means one of three things. It's either a call, a chief commitment, or watch this, a clear cost that is involved in following him. So when Jesus says, follow me, he wants you to know that at some point in your life, that's going to be a call on your life. At some point, you're going to be called to make a chief commitment to follow him. And at some point, you're going to have to really evaluate the clear cost in being willing to follow Jesus. But I like this because when he asks the disciples, he tells the disciples that, you know, I want you to be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That word leaven in scripture, it literally has the essence of evil. It literally deals with the fact of the evil teaching or seducing teaching or deceptive teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In other words, Jesus says, you're worrying about bread, but I need you to stop worrying about the physical things and start worrying about the spiritual things. Amen. Any of us in here ever get caught up on the physical things? In so much that we put the spiritual things secondary because we so caught up on the physical things. Amen. You ever been in service and the preacher, Brother Stroud's preaching good, and the only thing you can think about is what time Popeye's open? He's feeding you spiritual food, and the only thing you can think about, it's physical food. You worrying about those red beans you left in the slow cooker and you didn't know if you put it on slow or high. And you worrying about that, and he's trying to feed you the spiritual things of God that'll help you not only in this life but in the life to come. And oftentimes we get so enamored with the physical things that we overlook the spiritual things of God. He says, now, this is what I need you to beware of. I need you to stop worrying about the bread that you forgot to take some bread. Because as a matter of fact, Jesus says, if I did it over there, I can do it over here. Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Amen. Jesus said, if I did it over there, I can do it over here. And I'm here to tell anybody this morning that would ever doubt God that if your faith is little, you need to know if God did it before, he'll do it again. If he healed you before, he'll heal you again. If he paid your bills before, amen, somebody. Amen. He'll pay him again. Amen. So watch this. The Bible tells us that Jesus says you need to beware. And they reason within themselves. They thinking that Jesus is just talking about the fact that they forgot the bread. And he tells them, oh, you a little faith. Why reason with yourselves? Because you forgot the bread. Watch this. Verse number 9. Do you not understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up. Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 or how many baskets you took up. How is it that you understand that I speak not of things concerning bread, that you should beware of the seducing and evil teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Stop worrying about the bread and start worrying about God's business. I say, stop worrying about the bread and start worrying about God's business. I tell saints all the time, I don't care how much overtime they offer you on Sunday. Stop worrying about the bread and start worrying about God's business. Because when you put God's business first, you always get the bread. Amen. Oh, y'all missed y'all shout on that one. Amen. Let me say it again. I said when you put God's business first, you always get the bread. Amen. Nah, it may not be the bread you want. Amen, somebody. Amen. But it'll be the bread you need. Amen. My Bible tells me in Matthew chapter 6 that my God supplies all my needs. That it doesn't matter what I need, food, clothing, or shelter. As a matter of fact, let me bless somebody in here. You know, that's only 3 things God is promised to give you. Amen. Food, clothing, and shelter. Amen. God's responsible for that. He's not responsible for all the other stuff you want. Oh, Lord, have mercy, Brother Charles. They got a little quiet on me, Brother Charles. God not responsible for making sure you get an AMG Benz. God not responsible to make sure you live in a 5-story mansion house. As a matter of fact, if you live in a house with a door, you got to put some duct tape on the hinges, you still doing good. Amen. Some of y'all saying, now, preacher, God a little better than some duct tape on the hinges. Hey, I'm just saying. Amen. Food, clothing, and shelter. Amen. God says those are 3 things that I'm responsible for. And the Bible tells me that the people of God, that when we serve him, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed. Watch this now. Begging what? Bread. You'll never beg for bread when you put God's business first. Amen. And you have faith and trust in what God is able to do. I got to hasten to a close. Watch this now. Not only did he tell the Pharisees and the Sadducees they had no faith, he would tell the disciples that they had little faith. I like this because he gets to verse verse number 13, and he lets us know what saving faith looks like. I know every one of us in here, we know verse number 13. The Bible says that when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" I like this because you have to know, especially if you're visiting with us, this is a pivotal point in Jesus' ministry, because Jesus wants his disciples to know that you have little faith, but I want you to now have saving faith. I want you to have faith that a trust in me as the Christ, the Son of the living God. He reaches the coast of Caesarea Philippi. It is said that at this coast, this was an amalgamation of religious confusion because of shrines, because of temples that were hewn out that you can literally see from that cliff. You can look over and see all of those shrines that were hewn out in that area, in those caves and caverns. And Jesus reaches a point where so much religious confusion was going on through the worship of all these other men and all these other idol gods. He reaches this coast and he would ask the disciples, he said, check this out. He said, what is everybody saying about me? Amen. And they say, Jesus, well, you know, some people saying that you John the Baptist, some people saying you Elijah. Some people saying that you are Jeremiah. I like this because Jesus says, he turns to his disciples in verse number 15 and he says, who do you say I am? That's a very powerful passage of scripture because it teaches us, in essence, it does not matter who everybody else says that Jesus is. The only thing that matters, the only thing that is of saving faith, is who do you believe Jesus is? And I know y'all been watching the news and Twitter and TikTok. You let Putin tell you Jesus was black. Amen, somebody. And some of y'all got excited. You started putting on your African clothes and African dashiki. I would tell you, amen, somebody, that through the word of God, we are always mindful of the pigmentation of individuals that live in a certain part of the world. Amen, somebody. But even greater than that, it's not the color of his skin, but it's about what God was able to do through his saving grace. Because when Jesus came down to earth, it doesn't matter if he was white. It doesn't matter if he was black. It doesn't matter if he was green. Amen, somebody. And I say, some of y'all say, preacher, it does matter if he's green. Watch this now. His purpose and his ministry, that's what matters right here at this point. Amen. He asked the disciples, what is everybody else saying about me? He turned to them. He says, whom do you say that I am? And watch this. How you answer that question has saving ramifications, has eternal ramifications on your life, because it doesn't matter what everybody else say about Jesus. All that matters is what you believe about Jesus. Okay. Peter says, Simon Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto them, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Y'all know this Amen. Scripture. Amen. You ought to say it with me. And he said unto them, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Upon this rock, not you, Peter, but upon the confession that you made that I am the Son of God, not on you, Peter, because you are just a man, but upon your confession that I am the Son of God, I am the Messiah, I'm the one that God sent down to earth to save everybody. Amen. So we don't believe, like the Catholic Church, that Peter was the first pope. Amen, somebody. We don't believe the church was built upon Peter, because if the church was built upon Peter, it was going to fall. Amen. Because the church cannot be built on man. The church was built upon the confession that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. And when we talk about church, that word church, ecclesia, is not this building. Amen, somebody. Lord have mercy. I was also supposed to say amen. The church is not this building. The ecclesia, that's the called out people of God. And I tell people in the church all the time, you don't come to church. Amen. You are the church. Because we are the church. Amen. We come to this building to assemble together as the church, but we don't come to church because when we come, we are the church. Amen. And when we assemble together as the church to worship God in spirit and in truth. Because there'll be some people that'll size the building up and they'll decide if they're going to follow Jesus or not based upon the building. I got to tell y'all, Bristol, y'all got a nice building. Amen, somebody. Amen. Lord have mercy, I didn't know what door to walk in. I mean, clean. I went to restrooms and, you know, I work in the inspection industry, and it said you can tell how well established it is by going in its restrooms. Amen. Oh, Lord have mercy. Now, Bristol, I didn't go in the restroom just to see how clean y'all was. Amen. You know, I was on the road for a little. Amen, amen. But watch this now. A beautiful building, but the building is not the church. Amen. See, if you're here by way of invitation, we didn't just invite you here for you to be enamored with the building. Because you may go somewhere else that got a bigger building. Amen. And you may think because their building is bigger, that means they got more God. Amen. Can I tell you, bigger building doesn't mean more God. Amen. You have to know the people that are following God. Amen. Because ultimately, it doesn't matter how big the building is, if they're not following God, they are not the church. Amen. Jesus says, I'll build my church, the ecclesia, the called out people of God. They will follow me for me and not a building. Amen. So he deals with a saving faith. But as I close, watch this now. I got to close with this. He wants them to know that it's not enough to just have saving faith, because saving faith is powerful. Saving faith to bind some stuff on earth and loose some stuff in heaven. But he wanted them to know that ultimately, after you have saving faith, you're going to need serving faith. Amen. Watch this as I close. The Bible says in verse number 20, as I close, the Bible says, then he charged his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Amen. And from that time forward, Jesus began to show his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and raised again on the third day. Amen. Then took Peter him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But then he turned and said, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest me, not the things that are of God, but the things that be of man. Now, I kind of cleared that up because some people thought he was calling Peter Satan. Amen. Amen. He was not calling Peter Satan. He was telling Peter that that idea that you have doesn't line with God's idea. And if you're going to serve me, you cannot follow the ideas and the beliefs and the faith of men. If you're going to serve me, serving faith is a faith that's willing to trust in God and not man. Amen. Serving faith is a faith that does not want to put your preference and what you want ahead of what God wants. Because his disciples know, watch this now, if Jesus leave, we in trouble. Their claim to fame was the fact that they had Jesus with them. He was tangible. They could reach him when they needed him. He was right there in their presence. But if he died a shameful death, if he was killed, they would no longer have him right there with them. And if he's not with them, then what will become of them? So all they can think about is their self. And Peter understood, Jesus, if you leave, we in trouble. Amen. Jesus says, Peter, I want you to know that that idea that you have is of man. Amen. But the idea that you have doesn't align with the will of God. Because the will of God is for me to die on the old rugged cross. The will of God is for me to be buried in a borrowed tomb. The will of God is for me to rise on the third day. That's the gospel good news. Amen. And he says, that's the will of God. And if I stay with you, watch this, I can't save everybody. Amen. if I stay with y'all, I can't do what God has called me to do. You want me all to yourself, but watch this. I have to die so everybody can have access to me. As a matter of fact, in essence, Peter was saying, I don't know your name, my brother, but Peter was saying, no, you need to stay here so I can have you so that brother can't have you. Jesus says, no, that's of Satan. Because all of us in here have access to God. All of us in here have access to God because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross of Calvary. In the book of Peter, he's called our propitiation. That is our substitute, our atonement for sin. God desires and God demands that sin be paid. Amen, somebody. And Jesus had to pay the sin price in order to be our propitiation, our substitute, our atonement. Watch what serving faith, as I close. Watch what serving faith does. The Bible says in verse number 24, then said Jesus unto the disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and watch this, follow me. I know some of us get excited, especially when we become members of the Church of Christ. And watch this, when we say Church of Christ, the only thing that we're saying, we are members of the church that belongs to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No harm, but we have to say what the Word of God says. Amen. And we have obeyed the gospel good news to where we are members that you can find in the church that's in the Word of God.
Amen.
We are members of the Church of Christ, and now that we are saved, it doesn't do us any good to rest on our laurels. Let me say that again. I said it doesn't do us any good to rest on our laurels. Some of us think the only thing we got to do is just come in here, obey the gospel, good news, get baptized, and now we can just sit on these nice chairs and don't do anything at all. And the church starts to move, and the church starts to disciple, and the church starts to evangelize. And some of us think that as long as I'm sitting on this chair, I'm all right. As long as I got my chair. Oh, Lord. Brother Stroud, at home, some of the saints, I challenge them because some of them get their chair. Y'all gonna act funny with me. Let me see if I can help you. I don't know how y'all do it out here. I don't know. I just told y'all this is my first time here, so I don't know how y'all do it. But you know, you get used to sitting in a certain place on Sundays.
Amen.
If you sit in the same spot for some 10 years, and that's your spot, you know there's about to be some drama when you come in and somebody else sitting in your spot.
Amen.
Y'all gonna act like that? I just told y'all I'm trying to close.
Amen.
Because you know you've been sitting there and you may not say it, but when you walk in and somebody else in your spot and you think to yourself, now I've been sitting in that chair for some 10 years.
Amen.
Now they know that's my spot. I did it, got the audacity. Amen. Watch this now. And somehow we think it's just enough to come in here, sit in our spot, and we think that's enough to say I'm following Jesus.
Amen.
And then Brother Stroud, some of them even have the audacity to think that the church is a gas station. See, this for the people at home. I'm just sharing with you what I share with the people at home. I don't know y'all. Amen, somebody. But I tell the saints at home, the church is not a gas station.
Amen.
The song leaders are not here to fill you up. The preacher is not here to fill you up. We are not here to feel, because some people think as long as I can get to the building on Sundays and they'll be able to fill me up. The song leader will sing my song and will fill me up. The preacher will preach something I want to hear and he'll fill me up. And then sometimes we think if the song leader will sing our song, then we think he didn't fill us up. Or the preacher preach a message that step on our toes. And somehow we'll leave and brush out. They even have the audacity to say, well, you know, he wasn't on that Sunday. He was on, amen, somebody. But sometimes we think the church is designed for us to come in here and be filled. Can I tell you, watch this, we come in here to worship God. God is the only one being filled up on Sundays. As a matter of fact, when we come in here, we should already be on F. I just told you I'm trying to close your acting funny with me. I went to my mama house the other day, Brother Stroud, and my mama gave me her keys because it's customary when I go there. She gave me her keys, and she said, I need you to go fill my car up. And I said, oh, no problem. My mama go fill your car up. So she gave me the keys. I got in her car. I got a little bit up to the road to the stop sign, and I stopped. And I looked down, and Brother Strauss, watch this. You know where the F button at? The F, you know, where it's right there? She was right here.
Amen.
And I called on my phone. I said, Ma, I said, you want me to fill you up, but you already... on F, she says, no, I'm not. If you look at it, it's a two notches off of F.
Amen.
I need you to go ahead and fill me up all the way. But why should we think the church somehow should be filling us up? Can I tell you, you should come here already on full.
Amen.
The song leader doesn't even have to sing your song. You should come here already on full with a song in your heart.
Amen.
And when you got a song in your heart, when you come, we lift up the name of God together. As a matter of fact, I told the church in Opelousas, the church is not a gas station, but the church is known what is known as a AR. That's called the air refuel. Somehow, watch this, early in the 90s, they were able to design a way that a plane that was traveling over the Atlantic, my brother, I see you locked in to me, a plane that was traveling over the Atlantic didn't have anywhere to land to gas up, so what they designed was another plane to come alongside, and while those two planes were flying together, one would stretch out with a fuel line and fuel it up in order for it to keep going. Oh, some of y'all miss y'all shot. The church is not a gas station, but rather it's an air refuel that when you come into the house of God, you already on F, you already flying, and you come in here to keep flying.
Amen.
You come in here so I don't have to crash and burn, but I can keep coming here, be encouraged through the word of God in order to keep flying.
Amen.
I got to close. Watch this now. Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross. Can I tell you, the cross is not some burden that you are bearing. The cross is literally God's business.
Amen.
He says, I need you to put your stuff down.
Amen.
And pick up God's stuff. Because I need you, watch this, to follow me. I'm done. Watch this now. Some 21 times it is said, that the word follow me is found in scripture through the teaching of Jesus. Some 21 times, but no time greater than in John chapter 1. Because Jesus wants you to be filled. Because at some point you're going to have to go and fill somebody else. At some point, you're going to have to go and tell somebody else about the good news of Jesus. And if you are here because somebody told you about the good news, I want you to know that you have a great call on your life right here in this very moment. You have a call on your life that I don't want you to miss. I don't want you to overlook. I don't want you to shun. I want you to take full advantage of that call. But watch this as I close. In John chapter 1, something interesting happens. In John chapter 1, watch this now at verse number 33. And the Bible says, in verse number 32, let me give you context and then I got to close. The Bible says, and John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and it abode upon him, and I knew him not, but that he sent me to baptize with water, and the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is who which baptized it with the Holy Ghost, and I saw and bear record that he is the Son of God. I like this. John is now telling his disciples what he did when he baptized Jesus. John is now telling his disciples, watch this now, John is telling his disciples what happened when he encountered Jesus. John, we know John as the forerunner of Jesus. John was preaching, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. He was preaching in the wilderness. John is known as the forerunner, but being a forerunner of Jesus, John acquired some followers. John had some men that pressed the like button. And they say, John, I like your content. I like what you've been putting on Instagram and Facebook. John, we're going to go ahead and we're going to start following you.
Yeah.
So John is now telling his disciples what happened when he encountered Jesus. He says, I baptized Jesus, the Spirit descended in the Holy Ghost, and I bear record. John says, watch this, I'm telling you, he is the Son of God. Watch what happens next. And the Bible says in verse number 35, as I close, he says, and again the next day, John stood, and watch this, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, John said, watch this now, behold the Lamb of God. Verse 37, and the two disciples heard him speaking, and they followed Jesus. Amen. Let me try that again, Brother Strauss. I don't think they're with me. John said, and looking up, he said, behold the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Let me try it again, because y'all not with me yet. I know some of y'all just like that lawnmower that you let store up all winter. My brother, when you got to pull it out, and it don't start on the first time, right? You got to pull it a couple of times. Let me try it one more time. The Bible says, behold the Lamb of God. He told them who Jesus was the day before. The next day he sees Jesus, he says, behold the Lamb of God. The Bible says in verse number 37, two of John's disciples that were with John heard John say, this is the Lamb of God. They heard John speak, but they followed Jesus. Amen. If you are visiting here this morning, you might be following somebody else. You might be believing in something else. My Bible tells me that two of John's disciples, when they heard about Jesus the day before, the next day they seen Jesus. John said, behold the Lamb of God. My Bible says they heard John, but they were willing to follow Jesus. They were willing to leave John's teaching. They were willing to leave John's side, and they were willing to go and follow Jesus. Can I ask you this morning, if you received the invitation and you're following someone else, are you willing this morning to leave everything and follow Jesus? The Bible says Jesus turned and saw them following. And he said, what seek ye? Y'all want me to put that in the body term? Jesus said, what you want? Oh, some of y'all, Lord have mercy. I know, preacher, I'm on my time. And he said unto them, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he says, come and see. And he came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him a day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak followed him, Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother. He first founded his own brother, Simon, and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas. Thou shalt be called Peter. Amen. Can I tell you, the reason you follow Jesus and the reason you serve him, and the reason you are committed to Jesus and you consider the cost, because at some point, you're going to have to get a go get Peter spirit. I'm done. I said, you're going to have to have a go get Peter spirit. At some point in your life, it's not good enough for you to have Jesus all to yourself. All of us in here have a Peter. Amen, somebody. I said, all of us in here have a Peter. All of us in here have somebody that we should be telling about the good news of the Messiah, the good news of Jesus, and it doesn't do us any good to keep it all to ourselves. At some point, we got to go get Peter. And I'm telling you this morning, if you are visiting this morning, guess what? You are Peter. Somebody went get you. And we don't want you to leave. We don't want you to leave without obeying the gospel good news, without giving your life to Jesus Christ and becoming a member of his church. Not any church. Becoming a member of his church. The church that he says, I'm going to build. Andrew went get Peter. Jesus saw Peter. And Jesus said, Peter, I got some work for you to do. And I like that, because when we bring somebody to Jesus, we never know what Jesus is going to do with them. As a matter of fact, we might bring somebody to Jesus and they do more than what we do. Amen, somebody. But the great news is that we all are given an invitation and we all are given a call. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you're a member of the body of Christ, Don't rest on your laurels. Don't rest in your seat. Amen. Find a Peter in your life that you can go tell about the Messiah. You can go tell about the good news of Jesus Christ. And I believe if you do that, it will be encouraged to keep telling others about the good news. And if you're here this morning and you say, "Preacher, I'm Peter. Somebody went get me. What must I do to be saved?" Amen. You can come by hearing God's word, Romans 10 and 17. You must be willing to believe what you have heard. Hebrews 11 and 6, you must be willing to repent of your sins. The Bible says in Luke 13, 3, "I tell you, Nick, except you all repent, you shall all likewise perish." You must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the greatest confession that you'll ever make in this life. Matthew 10, 32, it doesn't stop there. You must be willing to be baptized in the water of grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. That's the operation of God. Watch this now. We don't do any work. Amen, somebody. All we do is obey the gospel good news. And through obedience, we are buried with Christ. We rise to walk in the newness of life. And watch this. We die to self. It doesn't become about you anymore. And the greatest challenge we have, some of us, we all about self. Amen, somebody. And the challenge we now have is to put God first. And I'm praying if you can do that, you can walk these aisles, you can give your life to Jesus Christ, can become a member of his church, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit where you can work out your soul salvation. If you're a member of the body of Christ, you say, "Preacher, I'm not going to treat the church like a gas station no more. Amen. I'm going to start flying." Amen, somebody. Amen. And I'm going to let God fuel me while I'm flying. And I pray if we're able to do that. My brother, what are we singing? What are we singing, my brother? We're singing "Mercy, Lord." And you stand in need. Mercy, Lord, you stand in need of heaven's invitation. Why not let it be known as we all together stand and we sing and declare our invitational song.
Amen. In my heart, sometimes I ponder as down life's road I wander to a city over yonder where peace and love abide, where my trials are gone forever, the tears will find me never. Lord, you'll see there'll be a place for me, and I'm going there someday. Dear Lord, look down upon me, and Lord, have mercy on me. I am just a weary pilgrim. I am tired and so forlorn. I thank you for your blessings and all someday. Amen.